Hey everyone, and welcome to the Wayfinders Church podcast. Wayfinders Church, we want to help people find life, and we think that happens in all sorts of ways, but chiefly among them, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and there are many ways to encounter, experience, and engage Jesus. And we want to create as many of those as possible. Honestly, we exist not for us, but for you. And so we're so thankful that you joined us for the podcast episode today. Listen, Wayfinders Church is on the rise. We are just 2 months away from launch day, people. It is coming. It is coming fast and furious. February 12th is D-Day for launch. But before then, we have two more preview weekend worship experiences coming up on January 8th and January 22nd. We have the Tri-Church mini-series that's happening those 2 days. In addition, we are working hard to bring up some facilitators for our city groups. We're going to be launching 3 city groups on February 12th on that week. And so be on the lookout for more details with that. And just some really cool things that happened. This month, we were able to provide food for several families in need in our area. And we also were able to send some money to facilitate some microloans for single moms in third world countries that includes like chickens and goats and all kinds of stuff to start a little home business. So totally, totally cool. Thank you for participating, all of you who did that. And we are starting a 3-part mini podcast series that I'm going to call The 3 Essentials, because apparently, you know, we need to put numbers and, you know, you could call it 3 paramount, you could call it 3 cubed, you could call it, I don't care what you call it really, but we're going to look at, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at 3 pivotal chapters that frame kind of the undergirding thought of what this kind of new push in Christianity is, that the reason why Wayfinders Church is pushing so hard to let people find life is found in these 3 chapters, and it exposes some of the problems that we have with the church while also proposing some very simple and beautiful solutions for us. And so it's going to be theology, which is just the word theology, it comes from the word theos, which is the word for God, and then the study of. And so a theology is a thinking or a meditation on God. And of course, the scriptures are these encounters written down by real people at real times. And not only is what they say important, but what's really kind of intriguing about it is when we stop to think, why did someone write that? Like, why did they find that particular thing the meaningful thing to write down? What about that was the motivation? And so when we get to kind of expose some of that and open some of that, it makes the scriptures come alive much more so than, here are the instructions for your life. Because I find those very hard to fit into my box. So here we go. We're just going to jump right in. These 3 paramount, pivotal, essential chapters that are kind of undergirding how we think about God and the world. And the first one, dun, 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 dun. Ready? Is Galatians 5. Galatians 5. So here's some of the word. I'm just going to highlight some of the words that it says, and then we're going to unpack some of it. Here we go. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Now, just in this one little verse, there is so much packed into it because it talks about placing faith. And you may say, well, I'm not a spiritual person or I'm not a person of faith. Well, the bottom line is we're all people of faith. Even if your faith is in science, okay, it is held faith. Because what is really a fact in science is only a fact till it's not a fact anymore. Science would have told you at one time that, you know, that the atom was the smallest, you know, material matter. Well, then we broke that down, and then it was protons, neutrons, electrons. You broke that down, and it was leptons and quarks, and, you know, and it kept getting bigger. And so whatever was is now, like, it's more so. In fact, we're doubling our knowledge every 15 months right now. The total scope of everything we know, that's how fast and immense research and study and growth and knowledge is working. So, if you've ever read any philosophy, there's one philosopher that has kind of been coming up consistently over the past 15, 20 years. He's become really popular, and it's Thomas Kuhn. And he wrote a book about the rules for scientific revolution. Anyway, long story short, things are held as fact until they're not, because that's the best information that we have. And so when this line says, when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, we are saying that in the person of Jesus, in the Christ consciousness, in Jesus' spirit, when we put our faith there, something is happening. So we're believing that this person of Jesus, the essence of who he is, his spirit around us, something is going to be happening. And here's what's interesting. Instead of being a religion, which required markers like tattoos or circumcision or physical symbols on people's body, the clause is there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. So in other words, when you put your faith in Jesus, this isn't a religion, it's something different. Because the marker is no longer valid. There's no in or out. It's, do you know the Christ? Do you know? Have you experienced the Christ? And then he finishes with what is important. So no longer is the moniker or the label or the symbol important. What is important, however, is faith expressing itself in love. We're going to explore in another chapter later the kind of the finishing piece to that line, faith expressing itself in love. But what does love do? Love doesn't exclude. Love includes. Love says, man, even though you've screwed it up, you're welcome here. And I think so many people in religion are trying to keep other people out. So many people in religions are trying to keep the rules. And how many of us have felt guilty because we couldn't keep all the rules? Well, you see, in our tradition, in the Christian tradition, they have a word, a label for people trying to raise their self-piety, and they call it, well, they call it sanctification. But it often gets misunderstood, because sanctification is not behavior modification. It's not taking what I do and modifying it to follow the rules. What it really is learning to trust that when I put my faith in Jesus, it gets lived out in holy love. It gets lived out. It actually gets expressed in loving people. And so the rules no longer apply. There's no in or out. There's no slave nor free. There's no Greek. There's no Jew. There's no male. There's no female. Instead, all there is people who we get to love. And so the Christ consciousness, the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what it's teaching us to do by putting our faith in it is to really love people well. Because when we love people well, something happens to us and something happens to the world. And yet, Christianity has the label of a religion. It has the rules of religions. And that seems to be what Paul here in this chapter in Galatians is fighting against. So what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Continuing on, he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Okay, so when you put your faith in Jesus, you get this freedom. Freedom from what? Well, he says freedom to stay away from sinful nature. How many of us have felt beaten up by a religion? A religion that we couldn't live up to, a religion that we couldn't get. And the truth of the matter is, we can't. We've all fallen short, right? That's what it says. We've all fallen short. And what that does is that puts us all on a level playing field. It's saying, hey, there's something going on here. But I don't need to tell you what you've done wrong. Because just by bringing up what are your sins, you immediately can pull up a list of like places where you lied and places where you took advantage of someone, or you yelled at your kids and you over-disciplined them or under-disciplined them, or places where you've just, you know, you've blurred the lines ethically or morally at work, or, you know, whatever the case is, you know exactly where your challenges are. You know where your vices are. You know where that thing that creeps up and rears its evil habits on you. You know those things. And he's saying, you have freedom. You have been called to live in freedom. Not like when you love each other, you give each other grace. And when there is grace, someone can abuse that. And he's saying, when you make the rules, you abuse it. But instead of making rules, just live in right relationship. Like, instead of making a list of rules, like, I'll give you an example. Because I love my wife, I don't make a list of husbandly and wifely duties that are rules we must follow. I have no, that's my spot, Sheldon Cooper, you know, moniker. There are not a list of roommate agreement rules, right? Because I love my wife, I just love her. And I try to do what honors her. Because I love her. And so holy love gets played out in serving one another. And so what Jesus is actually calling us into is not a list of rules, but a way of living in the world that serves one another, that creates holy love and space for one another. And then he says this, for the whole law, even if you made all the rules, this is how it gets summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Because your sinful nature wants to do what's evil. But the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of that. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligations. He finishes with this statement. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful natures to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. There's another really cool verse in the scripture that Jesus says that the Spirit guides us into truth. And the truth sets us free. So here's the breakdown for us. This is a pivotal chapter. This is a pivotal picture in scripture because it says, here's what you're being saved to. You ever wonder when someone asks you, are you saved? Like what they mean by that? Here's what you're being saved to. You're being saved to become something brand new with the Spirit of Christ in you, guiding you in how you live so that you can love people and each other well. And instead of using people or making things all about rules and obligations, instead of making a religion, see, what this invitation is an invitation to be guided personally by the Spirit of Christ to love each other well. Now, if you and I just followed Jesus' teachings in caring for the kids, in caring for the poor, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the, you know, in their culture, the women, right? In caring for people that were seen as less. If you and I just took that, man, that would be amazing. But this goes even deeper. This is saying, you don't understand. Like, you don't have to serve yourself. That selfish gene, that root of evil inside of you, it can actually, like, you can gain freedom from it when you listen to the Spirit. And here's what happens. Instead of living for yourself and your own path and your own glory, all of a sudden you're going to be able to live to bless people, to love people in holy love. That's what living by faith is really all about. That's what the invitation is really all about. And so, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, maybe today you have been really struggling. Maybe today you have been wondering, man, why are we even trying to do this church thing? It's just a bunch of rules. And then you see somebody that says, yeah, I'm following Christ. And then they're just doing the stupidest things and they're hurting people and they're being totally hypocritical and it just burns you the wrong way. But maybe you know, even then, that there is something beautiful going on when we get past our selfish gene and we start caring and loving for one another. And you need a guide in the process. You need to have faith in this, not only this ideal, but that this is reality. You need to have a helper to make it happen. That is this chapter. And it is good news for you and for me. And so maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I've never been led or guided by the Holy Spirit. I've never been that. I've never lived in that kind of freedom where I can just use my life to serve people in love. Now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. And it won't happen overnight. You won't see quick results, but give yourself 2 years. Put yourself on a 2-year plan. And make incremental changes. Start just praying more. And see what that does to your psyche. Like, really talk to Jesus. Like he's there. See if you start to hear something. My friends, today is the day where we get to be reminded that the invitation to faith in Jesus is an invitation to love people well. When we start there, something happens to us and to the people around us. But it goes far beyond that. There's more underneath going on. Because when we get guided by the Spirit, we get to actually overcome our own evil, selfish, jealous desires. And we get freedom from that. And that, my friends, that is really living. So, may you find life. Much love.